You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. To everybody out there, welcome. Interesting show today. We're going to talk about Haditha again. Had Neil Puckett on a week ago and kind of introduced him to everybody. And so we could do the show you're going to hear today. So you could hear the show we're going to do today. Okay, so if you didn't hear the show about Neil Puckett's career, that was a week ago. Okay, Puckett. Just do a search in the on the podcast page, or scroll down. It's not too far down. Either one works, and you'll find him. Today. The goal of today is leadership lessons from Haditha, okay? But in order to get to the leadership lessons, you kind of got to walk through what happened. So we'll do that. Momentarily, I'll put up a couple images that give you... just a sense of, you know, the layout of the city of Haditha, and then kind of a schematic of where things happen. So there'll be a couple images up that you can refer to, picture of Neil Puckett and some of the principles. I'll put that up on a website that'll be up momentarily. So, and the interview's almost 3 hours. So if you're sitting at work today, sit back, relax. And I'll tell you, it's incredibly interesting radio. During the course of doing the interview, you know, some days you're doing those interviews and they're long interviews. Other days you're doing those interviews and they're not long interviews at all. They're short. And so we try to kind of walk through, you know, talking about Haditha, is the first challenge is, how are you going to limit the subject so you can treat it appropriately? We treat the subject in phases, if you will, and, I don't know how many phases we treat it in. I can count them. We treat them in 6 phases. One is pre-deployment training. There's a few things that are important that you know about the way that 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines was trained. about that in the aftermath of Haditha. So we talk about that thing. And then the mindset they were in, given the unit they replaced and casualties and things like that. The next thing is the investigation, the events that happened in November of 2005, and then the what I call the internal period, where these events sit inside 3rd Battalion, 1st Marines, RCT 2, 2nd Marine Division, and 2nd Marine Expeditionary Force. Okay, and no investigation takes place. So we talk about that. I call that the internal period. So that's kind of the second phase of it. The third phase is begins with the Time article that was published, and that essentially blows up. Time article written by a guy named Tim McGurk, published in on March 19, 2006. Entitled Collateral Damage or Civilian Massacre at Haditha. So that marks a watershed event. Then NCIS gets involved in it. General Petraeus initiates a couple different investigations. And so and then all that culminates. That's the third phase, culminates in charges against 8 Marines. The fourth phase is the charges turn into plea deals and immunities for some, and immunity for some. All right, so we take a look at that, and we also talk about the convening authority at that time, who was the 1st Marine Division commander in 2004. He leaves, and I want to say he goes to Quantico as the head of Marine Corps Combat Development Command, MCCDC, and he comes back to. To be the, as a lieutenant general, he comes back to be the commanding general of 1st Marine Expeditionary Force at Captain Pendleton. That's everybody, right? So he commands the 3rd Marine Air Wing, the 1st Marine Division, and the 1st 1MEF Logistics Group. So the 1st Marine Logistics Group. So all those make up the MEF. So General Mattis, in his role at dual-hatted as 1MEF and then Mars Cent Commander, so the Marine component of Central Command, so he's dual-hatted, in that capacity, he becomes a convening authority for this. We'll talk about the things that that he said in the aftermath. He hasn't said very much, but in a couple times, he's spoken about it. And then we'll talk about the plea deals that are given and who gets immunity. And then, from there, we'll talk about, the court martial of Staff Sergeant Frank Wooderich at the time. He was a sergeant at the time of the events. While he's in this holding pattern, he's promoted to Staff Sergeant. And then ultimately he's reduced to private before he's given a general but honorable discharge. And then the sixth phase of this thing is lessons learned. And again, the goal of doing this, and I mentioned it at the end of the interview, is when I conceived of All Marine Radio, what it was designed to do was to talk about our culture, to use both historic events, current events, to provide content that Marines, current and former, would find interesting, and so that they would listen. And then when they're not paying attention, we talk about post-combat related mental health issues, but that's a different story. The content itself, though, would be designed to make them smarter, especially relative to the gray areas of leadership when you go to war. Now, there's no great way to replicate that. We try to all the time, and in certain cases, I think we come pretty close. But there's a million shades of gray on the battlefield. I think when you hear the lessons learned, I think they're spot on, and I don't know if we teach them this way. So my advice would be maybe we should. Maybe we should. So that's going to be the show today. We'll take a quick look at news headlines, and then you'll hear from Neil Puckett, and you'll hear his thoughts. Now, Puckett's role in this whole thing, he gets brought on almost immediately after the Time article is written, and everybody in 3rd Battalion, 1st Marine that's involved in this lawyers up. Okay, so he's part of this thing from the start. Also very interesting, you'll hear him discuss allowing Sergeant Woodridge at the time to go on 60 Minutes, which when you hear people talk about this, in particular lawyers, they say, yeah, I would have never allowed that. You'll hear his reasons why he allowed that to happen. So interesting stuff from a variety, from a historical point of view. And again, this interview is his perspective. It's not designed, to be, the sole source truth. Certainly is Neil's perspective as a defense counsel, but somebody who was involved in the events, and had a long time to look at him. So interesting day here on All Marine Radio. And, so we'll check the news real quick, news headlines, and then we'll get after it. Good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes today official Wednesday. And this dedicated, you know, on this day, dedicated to people that will go forward after doing the interview, but this dedicated to some future Marine, who hopefully, leader of Marines, who hopefully listens to this interview. And when Marines do bad things, he reflects on what he heard in this interview. And he does the right thing. And he may be a corporal, team leader, he may be a squad leader, he may be a staff sergeant, a second lieutenant, a captain, a battalion commander, a regimental commander, he may be a division commander. There certainly plenty of room for improvement. But I will say this, what you have in terms of leadership at Haditha is you have people doing it for the first time, and it's not easy the first time. It's you're into a foreign world, right? You the sights and smells, the things that happen are all foreign, and you're trying to make sense of it. This is the first really big fight for certainly that squad, for certainly that company. And so everybody's learning. They're essentially novices. So this interview is done in the hope that you can be smarter if we take a hard look at these things that leaders have to do in combat. So With that said, this is dedicated to somebody in the future. Never done that before. It's not easy.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. You know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we'll check the weather here, and then we'll check some news headlines, and then we'll start studying Haditha. Currently, clouds at 77 in Quantico. Raining at Camp Lejeune and 73 degrees. Granbury, Texas, noticeably cooler, 87 degrees under partly sunny skies. Big Timber, Montana, a little bit cooler. Partly cloudy in 63. Torrington Palms, sun in 88. Camp Pendleton, 70 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Okinawa, dark, clear in 83. Marja, 107 in the Helmand Province. Pretty much the same. At the home of All Marine Radio, 70 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Looking for a high of 86 today. no bueno, man. We are not digging the upper 80s. Okay. And I speak for everybody about that. So, that is a look at news headlines. News headlines. That is a look at the weather. News headlines. Congress likely to cut the Marine Corps' funding for the M27 rifle purchase. Now, the Marine Corps, this is straight up dollars event, okay? Congress has taken another step to follow through on a threat to limit money for the Marine Corps to keep buying the M27 infantry automatic rifle. Back in April, draft language for the then proposed National Defense Authorization Act out of the House of Representatives Subcommittee on Tactical Air, Land, and House Armed Service Committee looked into limiting the funding. Subcommittee members wanted to withhold 20% of the funding for the M27 purchases until they get more information from Marine Corps Commandant Robert Neller about the services small arms program. Well, it's in the version of the $716 billion defense policy bill that is expected to be voted on by the House this week and by the Senate in August. So, and again, the issue is that, you know, and you've heard the gunner go off on our procurement process. You can spend all this extra money to get to this product, okay? But the issue really is, right, being able to look at your constituents and answer the question, why did you allow the Marine Corps to buy a weapon from a foreign company? Congress members want Neller to lay out the Corps' quote, near-term and long-term modernization strategies for small arms weapon systems of the Marine Corps. They especially want the four-star to detail how the small arms plan will align with the small arms ammunition configuration study that the Army completed last year. The SAAC study was a service-wide multi-year study led by the Army to analyze the use and needs of near-term and long-term small arms and ammunition needs. Though the study has not been publicly released, sources indicate that it calls for an intermediate caliber ammunition for carbines and machine guns. The caliber will likely fall in the 6mm range. You'll recall that the M16 is 5.56 caliber, right? No, 2.3 caliber, 5.56mm. Alright, so, and current work on the Army's next generation of squad automatic rifles program to replace the existing 5.56mm light machine gun squad automatic weapon has included requirements that the Army use and create a 6.8mm round. Special operations programs have also begun a program to replace certain 7.62mm sniper support rifles with 6.5mm variants. Rather than wait for the new machine gun and follow on carbine and rifle, which may not be fielded for at least another 2 to 4 years, Neller began fielding the M27 Marine Infantry units in 2017 after initial equipping began in 2008. The Marines fielded 6,500 M27s as of March, with plans to procure nearly 15,000 of the H&K rifles. Marine commanders took some heat in March at a hearing where members of Congress questioned why they decided to go with a sole source contract at $3,000 per rifle from a German company. Again, so towards the end of the article, you get to the gist of the political issue. The political issue is not about ammunition readiness. The political issue is being able to advance, being able to answer a question to constituents about why the Marine Corps bought from a foreign company and didn't go through the American bid process. So there you have it. And the answer to that is it was more efficient. All right, next story. Okinawa is building shelters to protect school children from Marines. How about that? the strained relationship between Okinawa's local populace and the region's military occupants is well documented. And, you know, there's been much, much media coverage about things falling off, aviation assets. And honestly, to be honest, I mean, as there should be. I mean, would we go for that shit if it happened in the United States? We'd be pissed. Why are you flying over schools? You know, most of the time the path that, at least in Southern California, that Marines take to train, it's pretty regimented, right? It's a corridor. Now, I don't know if it's the same way in Okinawa and there's a school in the corridor, then maybe the corridor ought to be modified. Right. So, anyway. Turns out that the Okinawa government doesn't perceive the Marine Corps to be taking the forecast of cloudy with a chance of super stallions parts falling seriously enough. On Tuesday, the Okinawa government announced the construction of shelters on the premises of schools, including Futima Dani, which was a school evidently this happened at, to protect school children from random metallic or glass objects from the sky. There will be four emergency shelters, two at playgrounds and two at other locations. So I'm not sure if this is just a political reaction to keep the water boiling relative to the relationship that exists on Okinawa between the local populace and the military, but nonetheless. No space force for Trump in that huge over $700 billion defense spending bill. U.S. President Donald Trump wants a new military space force, but Congress isn't ready for blastoff yet. The Senate and House did come together on Monday on a $7.16 trillion defense authorization report that could set the stage for a sixth military service dedicated space. It would create a sub-unified command for space under the U.S. Strategic Command, whose main mission is to oversee the military's nuclear arsenal. Quote, you could view this as some of the preparatory work. They're trying to get the Air Force in better shape to spin off its space forces, said Todd Harrison, director of the Aerospace Security Project at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. It does a lot of things that tank stuff. Quote, what they're not doing is trying to integrate space forces across the military. The only way to really do that would be to actually set up a separate department, Harrison said, adding that the Air Force's space forces are outnumbered by the combined space forces of the other services. All right, so Space Force, while not funded in this bill, is beginning to take shape. And sadly, space will be militarized. How about that? Marine Corps presence in Australia is going to jump to about 2,500 Marines as soon as possible. The Darwin Rotational Force, as it's been known, the Marine Rotational Force Darwin, has been sitting at about 1,500 Marines with an additional 8 Osprey and 6 Howitzers. It's currently the largest rotation to Australia for the Corps, which is now in its 7th rotation since kicking off the deployments in 2012. All right, so the intent of the initiative between the two countries has always been to grow the presence in Australia to about 2,500. So Marine Corps on course to do that as it continues to provide a larger and larger presence in the vicinity at Darwin, right? The Darwin Rotational Force, as it's known. Another headline in Marine Corps Times today. Our U.S. remains from North Korea ever coming back? And again, this falls under the broad heading of progress on the Korean Peninsula. If easy things like the remains can't be returned, then I would tell you that get sanctions ready because this shit's going nowhere. President Donald Trump on Tuesday said he hoped that the war remains from North Korea he'd already claimed were on their way to the U.S. more than a month ago would now be coming home very soon. In an address to the VFW in Kansas City on Tuesday, Trump said his administration was continuing to work on the commitment made at the summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un last month. Defense officials said a transfer could take place soon, but there have been no details to date. The United Nations Command, which has responsibility for the DMZ between North and South Korea last month, sent wooden transfer cases to the border to receive any remains that are handed over. Those remains would then be flown to Hawaii for identification. So, still hasn't happened yet. So, we're waiting. And if you can't do that one, good luck on the rest of it. Yeah. Because it only gets marginally tougher when we talk about nuclear weapons. It's from the defeat of ISIS in Syria, just 2 to 3 months away. Yeah, how about that? The Islamic State's once grand and terrorizing hold of Syria is now down to just a small patch of land about 20 miles by 6 miles along the Euphrates River, and is expected to fall within a few months, a top French commander involved in the operation said on Tuesday. Quote, "We hope that the last combat will go quickly," said French Brigadier General Frédéric Farisol, Director of Civil Military Operations for Combined Joint Task Force Operation Inherent Resolve. Farisol said that there are a few hundred fighters remaining in Syria that the coalition is still fighting. "We still are in the fight for at least 2 to 3 more months, and then obviously there will be more decisions," Farisol said. "The remaining fighters are located on a strip of land between the Syrian cities of Abu Kamal along the Iraqi border and Hajin on the Euphrates River." So if you go the land that most Marines that were in Iraq are familiar with is in Al Anbar. If you continue west along the Euphrates River, you will bump into both Kamal and Hajin. So anyway, hopefully wrapping that up and then what? Very optimistic assessment last month in an op-ed. So we'll see where Iraq goes. Can it return to becoming a secular state where Sunnis, Shiites, and Kurds can coexist? Or will ultimately Jerry Durant be right in when he says that that Iraqis don't see a future for that country together? That the only way that that country will survive, given the violent nature of the different elements in the nation, given the government's performance in terms of not including two of the three groups as they run the government, they didn't have much hope. So that was not part of the assessment, though, about a month ago from the commanding general of Operation Inherent Resolve. So we will see what bears truth. And again, you do all the fighting to get to this point that it can become a stable part of the world, it can become a peaceful part and not dominated by our adversaries after we spilled so much blood there. So time will tell. Quick look at the top stories in Early Bird today, and then we'll head to lessons learned from Haditha. One, how the Russian government allegedly attacks the American electric grid. One of the things that at the Aspen Security Forum, and you listened to a little bit of it yesterday on Russia. I'll play another bit about China, and I'll also I'll dig out some stuff. One of the things they did was about infrastructure and cyber warfare, and they made the distinction that just so people know. That the systems that control our electricity are not hooked into the internet. Okay? Now, there may be some systems that have done that by mistake. Okay, there are patches that allow, there are options on systems that allow it to be controlled remotely. But by and large, according to the infrastructure and cyber people that were there, by and large, that the system itself is segregated from the internet. And I went, well, that makes sense. And they said, but there are options and systems that allow it to be controlled, you know, for instance, by the software maker, that the software maker can patch into it. If those systems are not disabled, that can be an entry point. So as we've hardened our infrastructure, we are looking at ways that we unplug from the internet. So interesting stuff. I also saw along stuff like unplugging along those lines. I also saw, you know, 2-part encryption is a big deal now. Okay. So that you can't get into, you know, for instance, if you're signing into your, email account from a different computer, most of the time there is a 2-part access, you know, 2 steps. After you sign in, there is a text message sent to your cell phone, and you have to reply to the text message for somebody to get access to that account. If you don't allow access, you know, they're not allowed access. So it's 2-part encryption. I saw yesterday that Google, right, to keep their stuff encrypted, is doing something old fashioned. They're providing keys. If you don't have somebody's key physically plugged in, and it comes in the form of a USB drive, if you don't have that USB drive plugged into the computer, so if you're not plugged in, a key. That's right, a physical key. If you're not plugged in, then guess what? You don't get access. So. Almost like we turned back the clock to create better security. Just kind of interesting. Now, these stories are a result of, you heard Director Coates last week talking, but he was quoted as saying, the warning lights are blinking red, right? He said at another security forum, which was held at the Hudson Institute. All right. And, so, experts and reports tell a story of how Russian hackers prey on electric employees as points of entry for their cyber attacks. The group has a 3-pronged strategy. Okay, this is this Russian group called Dragonfly. Dragonfly began with a phishing email campaign that targeted senior employees. As many as 84 messages were sent to one organization. The group then attacked watering holes, a term where workers would visit trade websites and unwittingly become infected. The final strategy involved fusing malicious code with common JavaScript software. But the group went dark around 2014. It was not for good. The quiet period was simply a lull before a comeback. They retooled, said John DiMaggio, a senior threat intelligence analyst at Symantec. Dragonfly became Dragonfly 2.0. But DiMaggio said the group has shifted its focus to the U.S. and became much closer to reaching the operational side, the electric grid. And so these spear phishing emails are designed to, if you interact with them, right, they suck out your passwords and your life, okay? Okay, other hacks were launched as Microsoft Word attachments that appeared to be legitimate resume. So again, and then one spear phishing email was referred to controlling systems, hoping to trick employees with technical language. So again, all they need you to do is click on it, and then they're in. All right. So that's still that phishing. Those phishing scams are the way that they access. Just like, and that's how they got John Podesta stuff. So anyway, I think it's interesting stuff. But I was relieved to know that, yeah, these things are not connected so that they can touch them. Story number two, Shabab releases photos from inside a joint U.S.-Somali-Kenyan base. Following an intense battle yesterday at the joint U.S.-Somali-Kenyan base near Baal Sanguini in southern Somalia, Shabab released photos claiming to show its fighters inside the base. Story number three, no space for Trump and big Pentagon policy bill. We've already talked about that. Number four, JSTARS, which is a system that the Air Force operates. That program is now officially dead. Air Force scored a major win in the 2019 Defense Authorization Bill. Not only will it be able to cancel the JSTARS program, it is getting additional funding for its alternative effort called Advanced Battle Management System. JSTARS is pretty crazy stuff relative to tracking things on the ground, things in the sky from the air. So pretty crazy stuff the Air Force has. Number five, Syrian war. Suicide attacks in the south killed dozens. The attacks took place in and around the government-held city of Suweida. State media monitors reported the Islamic State group is believed to be behind the violence. Big shocker there. Taliban overrun two districts in eastern Afghanistan, in Omna and the Gayan districts, have been highly contested. Look for some additional fighting there shortly. A couple more stories, just because I saw them and they caught my eye. Adultery alcohol cited in connection with Green Beret truck shooting in Afghanistan. You know, honestly, you read this stuff and it's just amazing. An investigation into a Green Beret who fired a shotgun at a civilian truck driver in Afghanistan revealed that some soldiers in the same Special Forces detachment were shooting videos to promote their own clothing company, drinking alcohol during the deployment, and having extramarital affairs. Originally reported by Stars and Stripes, the details are contained in an Army investigation report obtained by Stars and Stripes. And if you've ever seen the video, it's of an American vehicle, and it looks like a GoPro camera mounted either on the top or the side of a helmet. The American vehicle is moving past a white truck with some kind of blue tarp or covering on the back, and the soldier shoots as what turns out to be non-lethal round at the window, but you can't tell that it's obviously non-lethal from the shot. You see the shot and you're like, holy shit. Right? The shotgun shooting came to light through a short video clip of a deployment montage posted online last year, sparking the investigation. Army CID officials found no probable cause to believe anyone died or that the Green Beret violated rules of engagement. Although by watching it, it certainly does look like it. Through unit interviews, investigators determined that the soldier fired a non-lethal beanbag round into the window of the driver's truck after the driver failed to heed warnings as he swerved in and out of the military convoy. The shooting happened in 2017 near Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan. According to the investigation, if placed in the same situation, I would have taken the same actions. Pen flare, flashbangs, less lethal. These steps are used to mitigate collateral damage and the locals, and to protect the lives of American soldiers and partner forces. But the team's operations sergeant, a master sergeant, not named in the Stars and Stripes article, called the shot horribly poor judgment, according to Stars and Stripes. Even if the civilian vehicle was trying to disrupt or enter part of the convoy, ignoring pen flares as warnings, a shot to the metal door could achieve the same message without putting the civilian driver at risk of injury. The team's junior weapons sergeant likely recorded the video footage that ultimately triggered the investigation. Witnesses interviewed said that they saw the footage later on the weapons sergeant's laptop. That individual and other members of the team had started a clothing company and were using the deployment video montage to promote the business. The same master sergeant said the team's commander and assistant commander allowed soldiers to drink alcohol during the deployment, and at least two soldiers were having extramarital affairs while at Bagram. Not a good story. And then Secretary Mattis is in one story. No changes in Syria, according to Secretary Mattis, after the Helsinki meeting between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. All right. With all that said, we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, you will hear the interviews in two parts. There's a break. I got nervous after it had gone about 2 hours. I thought if anything happens, this is an outstanding interview. If anything happens now and I lose it, I'm going to kill myself. So there's a break after a couple hours. But I think you'll find it like I did, the conversation, absolutely riveting stuff. Something that I've heard a lot about, I didn't rightly understand, much like my kind of a study of events from Vietnam relative to My Lai. I didn't know anything about it. And you hear people say things about it, but you don't know if they're based on fact, if they're based on folklore that comes out of these things. So for me, the opportunity to sit down and talk to Neil Puckett was a great opportunity. And again, you'll hear him coming up next on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. And again, this is designed for leaders, so that when they go in harm's way next time, they can reflect on, they can be wiser because they would have heard in detail about the incident and about the dilemmas that are put in front of leaders and how they react. So, more of that coming up next on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.